has succeeded. We've done a lot of talking about it as to what the hell we really, our goals really are.
The other thing I was going to say is that I think we need 3 or 4 people, I mean, including her. Maybe I know. Yeah. But we've got to sit down and determine what our PR goal is here. What do we want to get across?
Well,
what can we accomplish? Are we trying to win votes in the Congress? Are we trying to sell our country? Do we sell our country so we win votes in the Congress and all that sort of thing? I don't know.
It's very hard to boil that, but when you can, taking those people's views, what you really come down to is that you've got, first of all, the overall biggest goal, long-range PR and substantive, is the thing Bill Rogers talks about, the world statesman for peace, or Nixon the peacemaker, or the international...
I've been for 8 years.
David Cannon, forever. The world leader. And that, all of us feel, and I think all the external analysis indicates that that's a thing that you've got, and that the key here is to preserve it.
Sure. Well, you've noticed an interesting thing about the fairly book. I'm sure it came to come through you loud and clear. Kennedy was upset when they finally forced him in his third year on the civil rights issue. Appointed an investigation like you started talking about it 1 minute to work on the midnight Bangladesh. Believe me. You noticed that?
Yep.
He was right.
And
it's always been my theory too. When I go around the country, I don't go around the country talking about, well, we've got a terrible problem on the international monetary thing and how do we balance the budget. I always talk about the big picture. Like when I talked to these bad cats last night, I touched very briefly on that. I talk about the big picture, China and Russia, and
that's
the national spirit.
That's
what do they want to hear about? What's the crime that they want to hear from me? They don't want to hear those other things, do they?
Well, I think that's on the long-range thing. That's the
right.
You got it, the peacemaker,
yeah.
and world leader.
But you know, you've got to realize, right at the present time, I am in a stronger position than Adam Eisenhower.
Oh,
because there's nobody else on the dunghill.
Well, you've got
a stronger position than Kennedy. Because then there were some other people. He hadn't done it on that. They had a stronger position
than
Johnson. Because Johnson never understood it.
Well, Kennedy did. He failed that, too. I mean, well, Kennedy tried. Failed.
No, but except he could have had a lot of rhetoric.
Yeah, but the fact of failure was still there.
Exactly.
And the fact of failure is didn't come through totally in his time. But it sure is now coming through now.
Sure is.
I keep peddling that 13 Great Mistakes book.
I think it's out of print.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. That book was published in, as you know, in 68.
Yeah.
It's out of print, unobtainable. I finally got a copy in the public library, the Washington Public Library system here. And the copy I got, which is also kind of fascinating, is the only copy they have, the public library. It was published in November of 68. It was checked out it was published in the summer of 68. It was checked out in January of 69, right after the election. It was checked out again in March or something like that of 70. Again in March or April of 71. Again in, I think it was May of 72. And then I checked it out in February of 73. It's been checked out once a year.
Now,
and that's all.
Now, did you find out who the publisher, the editor is?
The publisher, yeah.
Publisher, does he have any copies?
I don't know. We're trying to track that down now.
Now, the second part, what about the writer? Living.
You know who wrote it?
Who?
Malcolm Smith, Jr.
Somebody in our space?
Chairman of the board of Mutual Broadcasting.
I can't believe. Oh, of course, that would be the concern.
Mutual Broadcasting System. Chairman.
What do you call it?
I don't know, but I'm tracking that down too, because that's a book that now should be reprinted.
Not a good writer.
Zola, your conceptual approach to foreign policy. I was just fascinated by it, and is going to do a book on it, write a book on it. I told him that now that he's got the White House assignment, he's the guy that he ought to take a stab at a book on not just your foreign policy, but the consistent line of the Nixon philosophy across the board, foreign policy through domestic policy. How the Nixon doctrine is a statement of basic philosophy with the Nixon second inaugural. Look at it in that context, you get kind of intrigued in that today. But I said, have you read this book? No, I've never heard of it. I said, I didn't think so.
You talked to Luke's book?
Nobody has, yeah. I said,
I heard that as a competitor for our broadcast
system. And I got into Laos, and that Laos chapter, the first chapter, is just fascinating because it lays out the whole Vietnam basis in about four pages. It covers
the chapter murdering that year.
I'm right. But this made the point that Kennedy went out to his big first televised press conference, said, "We will not let Laos fall," and then he got Robico out in the Rose Garden and whispered in his ear and said, "We're not going to allow you to take Laos by force." And did all these brave things. And then Harriman said, "We better let it crumble," and we did. What's his name, take over. And it just kind of, with all this brave talk,
I want to find Smith, why don't we have him? He was probably cashiered out of the business as a result of this book. That would be much private.
I will bet you that the book that Kennedy's bought, the entire printing, and probably the plates, and maybe the publishing company. That's the end of it.
Run down, Smith. I agree. Well, I'll find him. Let's find out what became of Malcolm Smith Jr. He may be younger than Thomas Martin over there.
Probably is, but
I never left.
If we get that goal as a PR goal, I think that overrides. I think that's the one that in the first place, we've got. It's a matter of keeping it polished and up front where it belongs and moving. Then you got the other one for history, the long range, the PR, what do they write about Nixon? Is something that is still a little nebulous, but it's the new FDR, or the Nixonian politics. It's Nixon the politician in the sense of the man who restructured the American federal system. The man who came in and changed the socialistic trend of towards always bigger government, taking over more of everything, turned it around 180 degrees and started aiming it the other way, started trying to cut what the federal government was doing, help the state governments, tying in that whole, the new federalism or whatever you want to call it, but not in those sense, not in those terms, but in the more personal terms of what the man's concept and the boldness of moving on these things. And you've got some interesting stuff to play off of on that in the concept of a Republican taking the steps, same as the Republican going to Nixon, the anti-communist going to China, Nixon, the Republican moving the controls in, but then deftly, not just burying the nation under a bureaucracy of a controls mechanism, but putting on controls and then deftly taking them off and moving around and all that, if it works. And then the leader of men thing, the just pure leadership story, the man sort of. And on domestic programs and stuff, I don't think there's any legacy at all. I don't think you want to try for one. First place, I think you'd be ashamed of whatever legacy you leave. Either way you go.
There's that maybe crime.
Okay, well, maybe, but that isn't, I don't think you're going to be able to settle. I think that's something you want to do as the best you can on. You want to turn around, but you can't build yourself a monument on crime.
On the attitude towards
on the federal level.
Lifestyle crime, and a hell of a lot more than that,
Well,
so-called social issues. You want to remember there's something down on that. It's there. But you mean that on all of us business of giving power back to the people. big fat now. The environment used to be. You can't make a nickel on either one of them.
I don't think it is. Energy is because you can't make a lot.
Not much. You can't. Because nobody gives a shit about energy unless it isn't there.
Unless the oil man is there.
Well, the oil man cares about it. But I mean, but they've got the person that the people don't
care. The energy thing.
Unless their air conditioners go off.
CBS has been trying to give up and nobody's doing a shit about it. Please.
That's right. It is even, doesn't even have the drama that the environment does. Because the energy crisis is totally negative. There's nothing, there is no interest except when the energy goes. If your lights go off, then you get pissed off about the energy crisis. When they go back on, you don't care about it anymore. And that's the end of energy, I think. The taxes ties to the whole new federalism business and all that, the economic thing. But you're not going to get that, except in broad strokes, you're not going to get a hell of a lot of mileage out of it. Broad strokes, you can.
Reorganization.
No. Reorganization only in terms of turning federalism around. Reorganization per se, nobody cares whether you
counselors and all that.
Whether you have counselors or whether you change the cabinet departments to 4 or 34. Or whether you increase the White House staff by 1,000 or decrease it to 2. Will make no difference. Whether you take some leadership does, and that's what they'll argue, is that you gotta do some of those things
about leadership to employees.
But okay, you don't, and then you gotta welcome. So what do you do to carry those out? I don't know. I think on looking at what we do for the next year, maybe 2 years, is
there
two things that you've got to spend your time doing other than the foreign policy thing, the Nixon leadership in the world. And that sort of, we can't do much scheduled planning on except in broad strokes. I mean, what that relates to is dealing with crises as they come along and taking some positive steps ahead. Your idea of the African tour probably, I think, is a good idea
in Latin America.
Latin America is, I guess, essential just on a negative basis that you can't not do it.
Then we look that up.
And the European thing, back to Russia again, and maybe back to China someday if they come up here. As opposed to Japan, I don't know if that's a problem.
Probably.
But what do you do here? Well, you only have, I think, two big things to work on here. One is the battle of getting government off your back and out of your pocket. That fight, whatever it is.
Fight
the spenders. Fight, no new taxes, no increase in taxes. Now that ties into building up revenue sharing where it works and hacking away at the improvements in these where it's not. Show how you're moving power back to the people and the new majority type things that tie into that. The other one is just trying to build the country. And I think that's a terribly important role for you to take because you, I think, are the symbol of the re-establishment of faith in the country. The POWs are a big boost in it. China was a big boost in it. And the square value stuff, this really hits the social issue too, the recognizing the basic institutions, the family, the police department, the army, the volunteers that help in America, this sort of the fundamental values, religion, and faith in the country, pride, self-help, moral integrity, sacrifice, and all that. The stuff that the Puritan ethic, which you're sort of the symbol of. And you're the symbol of it in the things you do and the way you do them, and I think you've got to maintain that. And that gets to a thing you can ask, guys, of the recognized square America. He argues strongly and completely concurred. In everything we do, we've got to recognize the squares and by non-recognition defeat the new majority type or the new establishment approach. Talk to the Herman Kahns and ignore the other side of the
George Kahn,
everybody else. And
say we care. But if we do care, we can, and we've done some research to try and go at it, we can do our scheduling approach and the things we do with that thought in mind. And we've analyzed the races, the 74 races, to figure out where
what races.
Senate and governor. Well, it's really the state races are about all you can look at.
The House is the only place we've got a chance.
Okay, then you got to wait until we get those target districts worked out and then go on that basis. See, the Senate, we know what the targets are. Now, the House, we don't. And you can combine them. And you can look also to trying to cover a regional balance. You can also look to, do you want to try to cover the entire United States? Again, in the next term, you want to try and get all 50 states. And you want to tie that to specific things. Now, if you look at the regional stuff, there's some pretty good possibilities and some that aren't. We can work towards events that exist. There's a big status dedication in Mississippi issue. I think you probably want to do that.
I want to do the South.
You're committed to the VFW, and that's in New Orleans, so you're going to be back in Louisiana. We can, I guess you've got to do the Al Smith thing. The birthplace thing in Iowa, tie something to that.
Well,
there's odds and ends, but we can look at the who we want to try to help and where we want to try to go. Try to then look at and trying to keep you above the little battles and on the big plane, and then force our other people into the little battles when you get to this budget thing that keep you on something that highlights your interest but doesn't get you into fighting any particular issue in the budget. You shouldn't go on with a veto because any one veto loses, but you probably should go on with a statement of why you're vetoing in some way to somebody at some time. And we have to handle what you have to do. You were concerned about the things you have to do. Lay those out, and they're not horrendous. I mean, it's you start through the year, and it's but there isn't much. March is already set. April we're starting to look at lock in. You got the question of whether you want to leap on you then. We ought to decide that fairly soon, in the next couple of weeks, because we ought to get the invitations out of you're here on the 10th of April, which is Easter's not until the 22nd. Andrade is the 17th, the week after here, and then Easter is the week after that.
Right. You have two state dinners.
Not state dinners, no. What I would do with you, if I were you, is have a stag dinner. And let him speak. Because he's such an interesting guy. Let
why come?
I don't know.
She is not great.
She may not be because he's on a lecture thing, not a social.
I'll have a press card. Probably not.
I think maybe a little. But the way I have the press card is to invite Howard K. Smith and Roscoe Drummond, or Joe Alsop, or something like that.
Fight for it.
And fight it down, but let those two write it as a feature story, or talk to them. Let them cover it on the record. But let you ask him to give a talk, give your guest his view of the world situation, as we've seen from one of the world's lesser known, but more astute statesmen. That's safe, isn't it? I mean, when you come out pretty well. If it's not safe, don't fight into the press.
It's relevant to your character choice. You know, what do you do?
We'll find out first.
You mean you have a stag dinner then for... We finished our stags for the...
establishment. I have friends who are people you want to build up as leaders. And I get, that's why I have Howard Smith. And I have Don Kendall and a half a dozen of his businessmen. I have a couple of as many of the university people as we can find that were with us.
We've got quite a few around things.
That's right.
Check those little letters.
That's right. And I get some of those in from obscure places. The Texas State kind of people,
right,
and all that. And then I have all the labor guys you can dredge up. And a couple church type people. Just a cross section of various types of people that are interested in foreign policy, that have been with us on foreign policy, that are the types that we're trying to make the in people and screw the other. It's the kind of dinner that the elite would expect to be invited to. So I wouldn't invite them.
I like that.
And just invite the non-partial.
Sure.
Have a little bold noise, you know, come in.
Sure.
But don't have Captain Gray. That's probably not. Get our friend Mike Flynn from the New York Daily News.
I mark two or three deeply and believe.
And yeah, some of those calculators that I Terrell Berg and there are two or three guys like that are
good. Three of them great.
Check them in. Two of them look pretty good. There's possibilities maybe to bring in.
I'm certainly let's head down to there.
Right. But it's that kind of thing. You just
all right.
Some people around that would survive. And
I like that.
If you as a fascinating a guy,
as long as we go after polling, it'd be great. And we might not. Just might not make it to
it. I think it's better maybe not.
I would think not.
I think it means more to these people that he feels he's free to talk. And I say, you're free to do this. This is not going to have protection. You're going to talk freely. You were right about it. But that's it. Now go ahead, sir.
I think that's better that he's not as constrained. And the goddamn press is farting around. You don't want to be a person. No, just make it a private thing.
Different kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the next week, you have the same thing, and you
see we're not doing it for Christmas. We're doing it for the immediate audience. So it's good for the immediate audience.
But I put out the guest list.
Thank you.
days in. The latter part of September, somewhere in September, was being on the Europe trip, if that's what you... frustrating now because we get food track. It's hard to focus it.
And you go on.
It's hard to get a sort of the specific objectives and things that we do that have to get done. But you surrogates and everybody else, they hit all the time on the right your congressman, let your congressman know point, rather than the any other mobilization. I mean, that's where we really ought to push people on that. Send 10 letters, you know, get 10 people to send letters, and then each of them to send 10.
There's something you can do with your country.
That's right. And yourself. The president said, you know, what can I do for myself? Well, the first thing you can do for yourself is get have the government to take your money away from you. And in the process, you're doing something for your country, too. I mean, it's a noble cause. It's the other thing on Congress, the other thing we've got to do is make sure before we can start your peace, we've got to get the aid of Vietnam.
Sure.
Question through. Right? And that one, I don't think you do by taking, that's just the opposite.